All right, so the first one was, oh, what a piece of work is man, original man. And in that talk, we looked at the historicity of Adam, that he's a real person, he's not a myth, he's not a metaphor, he's a real man. We looked at the creation of Adam, the originality of Adam, that he was made from the dust of the earth, and we concluded that he, in fact, did not have a belly button. Okay? Think about it. He didn't have a belly button. Neither did Eve, if you think about it. Okay? Neither of them had belly buttons. Okay? Uniquely created from the dust of the earth. And then we looked at the covenant with Adam. This was the covenant of works. And we saw that God entered into a covenant with Adam in the garden. He made him outside the garden, and he brought him into the garden as a created living being, and he entered into covenant with him. Adam, outside the garden, had natural life, the union of body and soul. He had spiritual life, the relationship with his creator as a creature. He did not yet have eternal life. God put him in the garden to give him the opportunity to merit, earn, achieve for himself, for his wife, for his posterity, eternal life. What is eternal life? It's not just life that goes on forever. These people, sadly, in hell, their life goes on forever. They have eternal life. What eternal life means in the Bible is a life of happiness with God and fellowship with him, communion with him, confirmed righteousness before him that cannot be lost. Those are the things that comprise eternal life. And Adam didn't have that in the beginning. He was in a state of innocence, what we called original righteousness, but it was an unstable state because he was able not to sin, but he was also able to sin. And if he had remained outside the garden, he would have remained in this unstable state. And so God gave him the opportunity to confirm that state of original righteousness and to make it a stable state where he was not able to sin. Okay. We saw that the command for Adam to obey was related to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was also the tree of life. And what God was asking him to do in the covenant of works was to fast from one tree. And if he passed the test through his personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience, perpetual meaning just as long as the test lasted, if he passed that test, then he would have been given the right to eat from the tree of life. He would have overcome the trial, overcome the temptation by the serpent, and he would have inherited eternal life for himself and his posterity. So that was the third thing we saw, the covenant with Adam. The fourth thing we saw in the first lecture was the significance of Adam. Human dignity and human destiny. Human dignity, that if you believe in an original Adam made from the dust of the earth, from whom we all descend biologically and are related to him covenantally, then it helps us know how to relate to other people in this world, no matter their skin color. And it also helps us relate to the child in the womb. Because Darwinian evolution likes to say that the child in the womb is not a child until they're born, and also that there are different species within the human race, different races within humankind, some more advanced than others. And in Darwin's time, they would bring aboriginals from Australia and parade them in London as sort of an example of the ape man kind of creature, sort of not fully human, not an ape, but somewhere in between. It's incredible what Darwin's theory of evolution did. And that is what has led to the racism that we see today, where we have people who don't like each other because of their skin color, because this idea that one race was more advanced than the other. And what we saw there was that there is no such thing as racism, biblically speaking, because there's only one race. That is the Adamic race. We all descend from Adam. He's our biological father, and his blood runs in all of our veins. And when you understand that, then you can relate with a more dignified way to whoever it is you meet who is a fellow image bearer. There is ethnicism, there is tribalism, but there's not racism in a biblical sense. So that was human dignity. If you believe in an original Adam, it helps you hold a high view of human dignity. And then secondly, human destiny. It was through Adam and the covenant of works that we see that we were destined not just to remain in a state of innocence, but to be transferred into a state of glory. So Reformed theology speaks about four states of man. The state of innocence, Adam was created into that. The state of sin, which Adam plunged us all into because of his disobedience. The state of grace, which God rescued him out of sin and into relationship with him through the covenant of grace. That's the state of grace, justification, sanctification. And the state of glory, when we will be forever perfect with God and not able to sin. That we will have achieved that state. That's called the state of glory. And so we can see that the covenant of works with Adam explains to us human destiny. Our destiny was not to remain in Eden. Our destiny was not to remain in the state of innocence. Our destiny was to be transferred to heaven, transferred into a state of glory. And Adam was supposed to be the means by which that was achieved in the covenant of works. We know that he didn't achieve it. He plunged us into sin and misery. And so it took God to promise another covenant, the covenant of grace, Genesis 3:15, with another Adam-like figure who would come and defeat the serpent and by implication restore all that God had made in the beginning and be the one that would transfer us into that state of glory. So the little quote we had was from Herman Bavinck. Paradise was not heaven. Eden was not heaven. Adam was not Christ. So what Christ saves us into and for is not back to the state of Adam in the garden. He's not just returning us to the garden. No, he's transferring us beyond Eden, even better than Eden, into the heavenly paradise. So Christ is better than Adam. Heaven is going to be better than Eden. So that was the first talk.